Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, December the 6th. We will talk with a recently retired Wisconsin Supreme Court justice this hour about the Supreme Court and whether we should think about changing the way we elect Supreme Court justices or whether they should be elected at all. Would appointments be a better way to avoid the campaign money that's given to or spent on behalf of candidates running for Wisconsin Supreme Court? What about all the conflicts of interest that are presented if a justice hears a case that someone who was a campaign financer is involved in? Should we pass legislation to publicly finance Supreme Court candidates? Should the entire system be changed? Should we even elect Supreme Court justices? We'll talk about that this half hour, and we'll welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Justice John Wilcox. He was appointed to the Supreme Court by Governor Tommy Thompson back in 1992 and was elected to a 10-year term in 1997. His term recently expired, and he was replaced by Annette Ziegler, the newest Supreme Court justice. And Justice Wilcox joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you've experienced it both ways, an appointed justice and an elected justice.
Yes, I was appointed once and elected four times as a judge or justice. So.
Yeah. Well, which is the best system for Wisconsin, do you think?
Well, until recently, I have always been an advocate of elections, primarily because that's what the Constitution calls for, and we've been electing our judges since 1848, and that was in our Constitution. And the only way it could be changed would be a constitutional amendment. And I would say that when we had court reform back in 1978, it was considered to no longer elect but have appointed judges, but it was such a hot-button topic, and I think that the citizens of the state want to elect their judiciary, so it was dropped so that the amendment, which basically they started the appellate court system, would pass. So I got that from a member, Professor Arlen Christensen, who had served on the Blue Ribbon Commission.
Yeah, so you say until recently you backed the elected.
I just raised. There's been a lot of questions recently about the influence that money has, and I said frankly, as long as you have an elective system, people will have questions about perhaps the contributions, but that. That is what it is, an elective system. And judges are like, I served in the legislature for three terms, and I was trying to distinguish between a political race where the legislature or the governor is involved and a judicial race where judges are involved. And judges, obviously, are interested in fair and impartial justice, and that's what the people want. But it's kind of a dichotomy when you have an elective system and the changes that have come about because of the contributions and the changes in media and other things. And I was only suggesting, and perhaps for the sake of argument, that if you could, if you had appointed justices, you would need a truly independent and nonpartisan selection panel, which may be a pipe dream. In other words, that's very difficult to accomplish. And I don't really want to go to the federal system where you can see, I mean, people that have watched it, it has become a bitterly partisan and very, very difficult for both sides, whether it's Republican or Democrat. So.
Yeah, but on the other hand, now we have very expensive Supreme Court races, and
yes.
We have all sorts of campaign contributions and all sorts of groups making campaign contributions or the like that might even come before the Supreme Court.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. And, part of that is because having served in the legislature, I think, and this isn't just in Wisconsin, I mean, I remember going to a hearing way back in Reno, Nevada. I was sent there by former Chief Justice Nate Heffernan to look into campaign financing and campaign elections, and I was kind of aghast at the time I heard about what was going on in Texas, where they have partisan Supreme Court elections. You run either as a Democrat or Republican, and they were talking about millions and millions of dollars at that time, and that was over 11 years ago.
Is public financing of Supreme Court races the answer?
Oh, I don't know if it is the answer, because you're looking at, first of all, you have First Amendment rights to participate. Free speech has been, you have the Minnesota versus White case, which is a Supreme Court case that said that justices could talk about past cases and all the, but they had to keep their impartiality. They could not be partisan, but this is a case that was talking about what justices or judges could talk about. And the Supreme Court is a little different, I think, than most other judicial jobs. I once held, as I said, I was a circuit court judge, where you could have someone come in and replace you on the Supreme Court. You only have the seven people, and you have seven because it's an uneven number. And if judges have to, quote, recuse themselves because of political contributions, strike that, to just contributions, maybe you can say political contributions, then it would raise, well, not only havoc, but I don't think the court could operate. So it's a difficult question, because, first of all, we do have elections. We cannot just go to another system. So I think the public financing part of it is it's interesting, but I'm not sure exactly what it would accomplish. Does this mean that no one else can contribute, or that the public will then match the other contributions? Well, you're probably talking millions and millions of dollars, and I'm not sure in a state such as Wisconsin whether this is something that we really can afford.
We are talking about the system that we have in place right now for electing Wisconsin State Supreme Court justices, and whether or not that system should be changed in some way. What do you think? What questions do you have? Our guest is a recently retired Supreme Court Justice, John P. Wilcox. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, December the 6th. Coming up after 7:30, we will get another side in the debate or the issue of the state's constitutional amendment, marriage amendment, that the one that prohibits gay marriage in Wisconsin. We spoke earlier this week with a guest, a UW Oshkosh professor, who is challenging the constitutionality of that amendment. And we will hear from a guest on the other side of that coming up after 7:30. Right now, we are talking with retired Supreme Court Justice John Wilcox about how we elect our Supreme Court justices, whether or not there should be a change in the system, and we welcome your thoughts and questions. Some are wondering whether maybe we shouldn't elect Supreme Court justices, but instead they should be appointed. Would that be a better way? Maybe it would be a better way to publicly finance the campaigns of Supreme Court justices so that they aren't accepting or needing big campaign contributions from special interest groups. Would that be a better way, public financing? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. The news this morning, Justice Wilcox, is that the legislature isn't going to be taking up campaign finance reform after all next week during a special session, even though that's what Governor Doyle wants the legislature to do. What's your reaction to that decision?
Well, I probably would say that's a good idea if they're going to do it. It's something that should be a very thoughtful and thought a process that exactly what they're doing, and something that isn't going to step on the toes of your constitutional rights to participate in a race, and maybe take a look at what many other states and other states have done. So I would, as I say, I've mulled this around for a long time and watched what has been happening, and my main concern is that there are very rancorous races, and I think that it hurts the system of justice if people perceive, the perception is impartiality, and you have to worry about if this has changed and these judges are looked upon as a political system, and that is what bothers me. Now, on the other hand, as I said before, we have our constitutional right of elected judges. We chose that. Well, we've been doing it for since 1848, so it undoubtedly, in my opinion, has worked well. The new changes have been the input of great sums of money, but then that's inflation, as I said, and that perhaps is the change in media. I think almost everyone, and this is, you're going either radio or TV, there's very little advertising done in print media anymore.
Yeah. Well, and then there was this very recent case involving your successor to the Supreme Court, Annette Ziegler, who apparently did not recuse herself from a case that the Supreme Court heard or will hear, that a friend of the court brief was filed by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and that group was a big campaign contributor to Annette Ziegler.
Sure. Well, I mean, I haven't been asked about that, but I would say that it would be very difficult for her to recuse herself. I think that then once you start that, once you go down the road of recusal, and particularly when you have seven people up there, if you recuse yourself, you end up with 3-3, then you could have a tie. Another thing is that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of contributions from different people, and are you going to recuse yourself from all of those? I think it would be unworkable. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think that obviously, if it's a relative, if it's under 757.19, which says that if you feel you can't be impartial, but these are subjective decisions made by the justice, and we also have the rule of necessity, which says that you may have a conflict, but you have to act because you're the only ones that can act. There's nobody else can come up there that can come to the court and do it. Wisconsin does not allow a non-justice to come up on the Supreme Court and make a decision. Other states allow that. Other states have, and this is something that I favor, but allow I don't want to say a retired Supreme Court justice or someone from the appellate court, they just draw a name out of a hat. When you have to recuse yourself, then someone else can come up and make a decision. Other states allow that. Wisconsin doesn't, and it would take a constitutional amendment to allow it.
Let's take a call from Marcellus, I'm sorry, in Madison. How do you pronounce your name?
Marcellus.
Marcellus, hi.
Hello. I have a comment, and also another one popped to my mind as I was listening to this last little bit of dialogue. But I feel that the most important part of the election over appointment is the opportunity for the people themselves to make the choice for accountability directly to the people versus appointment when it bypasses the voice of the people. Also, as far as campaign contributions, it'd be possible to set up like a treasurer to which the who would be in charge of dispersing funds, and that way anonymity would be guaranteed. They would be sent in to, for example, to Justice Wilcox, and it would go into the treasurer to have to put it in a trust for his campaign, but he would never be able to find out who it was that contributed that amount of money.
Yeah. Well, I would comment on that because I think the former and now deceased Chief Justice Heffernan used a system like that where he never knew who his contributors were. I tried to use a system like that, and I had you know, between 2,500 and 3,000 contributors, not knowing who they are, I think is helpful. One of the problems is, and I think that's a very good idea, is that after the election, of course, this is all public, and they would say, well, maybe now you know that so-and-so gave you so much money, now you can't act in such and such a case. But basically, I do know that that's an idea that Justice Heffernan, Chief Justice Heffernan, did use in his campaign, and that's about 30-some years ago.
Yeah. And also, it sounded like Marcellus thinks that appointing judges leaves the people out of
yes.
the equation.
And I would say that I think, is the majority of the people in this state would want to retain an elective court.
Yeah, and I can state from the perspective of a talk show host, when we do these types of things, like even for other constitutional offices like Secretary of State or Treasurer, and whether or not they should be, everybody wants to elect these positions, but then they don't know a whole lot about the positions,
that's right.
And they don't really, you know, they don't know the candidates. You know, so you might want to elect, but you don't pay attention to the race.
Well, I think it was a Beloit Journal. I remember a quote I used at one time about the you know, that they didn't know who they were was like the people that didn't know about them. It was the unknown electing the unknown. In other words, it's a very low-profile race. I think that is changing, and I think one of the things that probably will make a change will be what happened in Minnesota versus White, which was basically the there was the code up there that said the judges could not do certain things. There was an alleged violation of the code. It went up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and a majority of the court said, well, we're really looking at free speech and First Amendment rights. In other words, many different, and that the candidate had the free speech and First Amendment rights to explain basically his or her judicial philosophy. So it changes a race from, some people say it should just be name, rank, and serial number, into where at least the voters, the people that are going to do the elect the person, have an idea of what is the judicial philosophy of the candidate.
Yeah.
You know, they cannot say how they would vote on an issue, but they can talk about past cases.
Yeah. We only have 30 seconds left or so, Justice Wilcox. Do you see any big changes coming when it comes to the system we have?
Well, I think the arguments that we've had in the discussion, this will be what will happen on the floor of the legislature. As I say, I think when it comes down to the bottom line, I'm just raising these things about the system so that people can get involved. And having been there, having been both in the legislature and knowing, well, in the legislature you can say, if you elect me, I'll do this. It's much different than being a justice on the Supreme Court.
Sure is. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Joy.
Justice John P. Wilcox, recently retired justice from the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We will change topics coming up after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.